I want to thank the ladies for the meal tonight. I know you're rotating in the helpers and the workers. I don't know. I can't see each one of you. Miss Linda, I know, was here, and Miss Sandy and Miss Betty. I really appreciate you helping out, and it shows a great deal of kindness to the pastor and his family. Amen. And this church, I know, has been a special blessing to the family, so that really warms my heart, and knowing that my brother is well taken care of as far as the church family goes. All right, Psalm 61, we're all familiar with David and his many struggles and trials that he's gone through, and every time in his moment of testing, his reflex reaction was to cry to the Lord for strength, cry to the Lord for protection, for comfort, for help. And in any struggle that he had, even when he was confronted with Nathan the prophet, his mindset was to correct a broken relationship that he had between the Lord. And I will admit that you're not looking at someone who has mastered the correct response during difficult days. But I do know where we can find the answer. Amen. And that's where we want to go tonight, in Psalms chapter 61. If you're able, would you stand with me as we read the chapter tonight? And then we'll have a word of prayer, and you can be seated. Psalm 61, verse 1 through 8 says, Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from mine enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we are able to come together and open up the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help this evening to be a blessing to people's lives. I pray that you'd help this passage to be a help during this difficult time. May you guide us and direct us and understand the Word of God correctly. Help us, Lord, to apply it in our daily life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Number one, a heart that is overwhelmed. A heart that is overwhelmed. As we see in verses 1 through 2, you can recognize the psalmist as he's crying out to the Lord, and he is overwhelmed. I can say with certainty that the majority of you are or have been or have experienced that heart of overwhelm, when you're just in the thick of it and you just feel totally covered. Have you ever played hide and seek as a child, and you went and found the best hiding spot, which was under the blankets or under a stack of pillows, and you're well hid, you're covered, but you find out very quickly that you can't breathe very good underneath there, and you feel suffocating. Well, this is where the psalmist is. He's overwhelmed. He feels that that concealment, that covering, where he can't breathe. In Psalms 55, verses 5 through 6, he has the emotions of fearfulness. The trembling are come upon me, and horror hath, here's the word again, overwhelmed me. This overwhelm is another word for covering. He's been covered by this. He's saturated by this overwhelming emotion. And then in verse 6, he looks for a place of escape. The psalmist, again, David says, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. He's looking for an escape from the trial, from what is overwhelming him. And though that is desired, God does not grant us a place of escape. He doesn't do that really for us, as we would want to just have a few moments of relief. But you know, when the gold is put into the refiner's fire, you can't pull it out too soon, because then it loses its value. You can't pull out the blade, the sword, or the knife out of the oil that is tempering that blade. Otherwise, it weakens the metal. we really begin to fail our dependence upon the Lord when we seek for that escape. A heart that is overwhelmed, number one, cries. He cries. Not only cries, but notice the direction of his cry. It's to the Heavenly Father. He cries to the Heavenly Father. Everyone grieves differently, but a Christian cries out in their grief to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'd encourage you to turn there because it's we're going to be looking at a few verses there. Many of you know verses 7, many of you know verses 8, but I'm going to focus on verse 9 for a little bit. Verse 7, of course, says, casting all your care, not just some of it, not a half of your load, not a quarter of your load, but casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Isn't that a joy? Isn't that a relief? Isn't that a comfort that the Lord cares for us and He's willing to take our load? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he constantly wants to destroy, to devour the people of God. He wants to tear them down. And even when we're in the middle of the trial, he doesn't stop, he doesn't pull back. He continues to bring out temptations for us, even in the trial. This is what Jesus Christ was speaking of when he gave us the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. He says, that lead us not into temptation. Now, we know in James chapter 1, he does not tempt us with evil. God does not tempt us to sin at all. So what is it talking about? Lead us not into temptation. Well, it's the point when we're in a trial, when we're in the difficulty, may we not be like Job's wife, where she said, just curse God. May we not build up bitterness and anger against God while we're in the trial, so we would not be tempted to fail and yield to that temptation, to get mad at God, question God, blame God. That's that temptation. And then also, we see a little bit later, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's the last time that He's with the disciples. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three record the time when Jesus walks away from Peter, James, and John, the tight three, the ones that were always around Him. He walks away about a stone's throw. And then when He's over there, He prays and He prays and He comes back. And you know what happens? He finds them asleep. He finds them weak. They're following in the flesh. And most likely you and I would have done the same thing. This isn't the only time they've been in the garden. This is the first time they see Him so distraught. And He comes and tells the disciples, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. He doesn't say that I don't enter into temptation. It's not that Jesus Christ would be weak, but He says, lest ye enter into temptation. Because there's going to come a time in just a few hours where they're going to be totally confused, totally baffled, totally inside a whirlwind of what is going on. I don't understand this, God. Why are you doing this? This isn't what I expected of you. They're going through a difficult time. And may they not be like Thomas, where he doubted and he yielded to that point and he gave in. He failed in their trial when he resisted to believe that Jesus rose from the dead unless he physically sees Him. You see, there's times when we're in a trial, difficulties come, and the devil does not stop. He tries to continue to discourage, tries to get you to do more sin against God and blaspheme God if he could. He doesn't stop. So I want you to see that's the connection here in verses 8 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because the devil is not done. He continues to desire to destroy. But let's look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, in verse 9, whom resist steadfast. Resist steadfast. How do we do it? In the faith. We resist steadfast in the faith. Hold on to our faith as much as possible. It follows the analogy of Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 13, where it talks about, wherefore put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand against the evil day. That word withstand is like a linebacker. And he takes his cleats and he puts them inside the dirt and he wiggles his feet around that he may withstand against the enemy that is coming against him so that he can stand against the foe. He's withstanding against the evil day. And watch the verbiage there. And having done all, there's a comma, there's a pause. And having done all, what's the next command? To stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And it continues on with the armor of God. You know what? When you're in a trial, you have a moment of weakness. Where you just want to buckle. You just want to fail. You just want to lay down. Sometimes you want to quit. But you're getting weak. And the Bible says, having done all to stand. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 is repeated in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says, that you should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Why does it include all thy might? Because sometimes, oh, those knees begin to buckle. You want to just, you're weak. And you've got to stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. I want to encourage you in verse 9. Wherefore, be steadfast in the faith. And watch what happens. In verse 9, it says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Do you see that? Do you get that? This is wonderful news. This is encouraging news. It's been accomplished. You know, Pastor Ivan is not a trailblazer in this specific trial. There's been people that have reached out to him who's already been in this position, and his position has been accomplished in other brothers and sisters in Christ. He's not the only one, and he won't be the last. He's not the first, nor will he be the last. There's going to be other people that are going through difficult trials and difficult situations in their life, but the encouraging verse is that these same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren. They're accomplished. So when someone else goes through the trial and they're in the thick of it and they take a Bible verse and they apply it to their life here, they take another Bible verse and it's giving them encouragement here, and they continue to collect and collect and collect as they're in the trial. And then they get through the trial and they're able to see, after they've gone out of the fog, they're able to see how God helped them and been with them through every step of the way. And then another brother goes through the same thing, or something very similar to what they've been through. They're able to take those verses, that experience, and say, here, brother, take these. This will help you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 says, but God be thanked, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all mercies, and the Father of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we, here's a purpose, here's the reason sometimes for your trial, that we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble by the comfort where we ourselves are comforted of God. And it gives us purpose. Why did this happen to me? That we may be able to comfort someone else who wasn't strong enough to go through this. It's in the valley where true growth for a Christian takes place. The day's shadows are longer, the rains are heavier, you're overwhelmed by the floods, but the soil is rich ground for the seeds which produce the fruit of the Spirit. Occasionally we have an opportunity to stand at the peak of the mountain and see from God's viewpoint exactly what He wants from us. But it's in the valley where we're most productive farmers in God's vineyard. Conflicts will come. Sorrows will overwhelm. Trials will test us. All these are crossroads. As Job's life was, as Job's wife was at a crossroad. Am I going to continue from this point to serve the Lord? Am I going to go this way? Am I going to go my own way? Am I going to get bitter? And perhaps many of you know people personally who've gone through a difficult trial and they've ceased from following the Lord. They failed because they went the other direction instead of following God's leading and His will for their life. Conflicts come, the crossroads come, and we have a responsibility to stay dependent and reliant upon the rock that is higher than I. I'm glad the psalmist in Psalm 61 doesn't remain in overwhelming sorrow. His desire was to get to higher ground. And so, as a heart that is overwhelmed, he cries, but then we see also, number two, he calls. He calls, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." In verse 2, it says, "From the end of the earth." This is a place that is unfamiliar. He's confused in where he's at, but yet he wants to get to that solid ground, the place where he is familiar. He wants to go there. The psalmist is not saying that he's strayed from the rock, that he's left the rock, but rather he seeks spiritual stability. He seeks spiritual reliability. He seeks spiritual refuge and spiritual comfort, and that comes from the rock. Notice, I want you to see in verse 3. Look at verse 3 with me in Psalm 61. He says, Thou hast been a shelter for me. Thou hast been a strong tower. You know what he's doing? He's remembering. He's remembering. I don't know what's considered your overwhelming experience. It could be depression. It could be anxiety. I don't know what your overwhelming position is. It could be some trial that you are going through or have gone through. So you're acquainted with this overwhelming emotion. But he has, this psalmist here, has a well-worn path that led directly to the rock. I remember as a child, my home was a shelter for me. It was a strong place. I enjoyed to go there, and it was a safe haven for me. Not all children have that, by the way, but I'm blessed to have a good childhood. And now I'm old. I'm over 40 years old. Can you imagine? I had the insult tonight. I had an insult. Are you older or are you younger than your brother? And he's 9 years older, amen. He's 9 years older. Now, I will also say that he is old according to Scripture. He is over 50 years old now. You want to dig that up? I'll tell you. It is found in Psalms chapter, or 1 Samuel chapter 8. When all the elders of Israel come to Samuel and he says, "Thou art old." You know how old Samuel was? According to Numbers chapter 4, he's following what the priests were. He wasn't old really in age, but he was old by 50 years old. And that's the time, according to Numbers chapter 4, that's the time when the chief priest would resign. "Hey, this is time for you to lay up the mantle. You need to retire now," you know? 50 years old was old. And so I can scripturally call him old, amen. But my shelter and my tower now isn't necessarily in my homestead. But now, as an adult, it should be where my Savior is. Where Jesus Christ is. I hope that you have a Savior that you've trusted in before. If you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, you don't have a strong place. You don't have a solid rock to go to. You can. You can trust in Him as your Savior, and you can have that shelter in the time of storm. You've heard it said. I'm sure it's been said here tonight. I don't know how someone who is lost could go through this type of trial. I don't know it. It's just somebody who has no hope. That can that tries to go through this. But we have a blessed hope, amen. We have a hope in Jesus Christ. And it's wonderful to be a child of God. And I hope that you also would have trusted in Christ as your Savior and have that rock of defense. A heart that is overwhelmed cries. A heart that is overwhelmed calls. And then number two, a heart that is obedient. A heart that is obedient. Look at verse 4. A heart that is obedient, number one, complies. A heart that is obedient complies. Look at verse 4. It says, I will abide. I will trust. You know, this looks an awful lot like a decision. It's not necessarily an easy decision, but it looks an awful lot like a decision. I will, and sometimes we can only focus on what we know to do. When Noah was told by God, you need to go build this ark. He didn't know all the details. He didn't know what all was going to happen, but he did what he knew to do, and that was to build the ark. Abram, I want you to go sacrifice your son, thine only son. I don't know what that looks like. But Abram followed and was obedient. He did what he knew he was supposed to do. And sometimes we don't know the whole detail. We don't see the whole picture. But we're to be obedient to do what God would have us to do. I want you to see, notice here in this passage, that he was, past tense, he was overwhelmed. And look at verse 4. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. The covert there, that's a word that needs to be interpreted. It means concealed. It means covered. Just like he was overwhelmed with sorrow, just like he was covered with this bitterness, this sorrow, overwhelming sorrow, now he's covered with something else. In verse 4 it says, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. I will trust in the shadow of his wings. There's no suffocation here. There's no fear here. There's no horror here. There's safety and there's comfort. And look at the word Selah. Whenever you see the word Selah in the book of Psalms, it's the same idea, the same concept as now. Think of that. Now think of that. You're covered in his wings. You're not in sorrow, overwhelmed anymore as much as you were. Listen, you're covered in his wings. The psalmist is not sowing seeds of anger. He's not watering the root of bitterness. He's not declaring an injustice. He's saying, I'm overwhelmed, but God has been my shelter. But God has been my defense, and I will do it again. Though he does not understand, he just follows what he knows to do. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. You keep going. You keep trusting. Make the decision. Make the decision. When he says, I will abide, it's like he's grabbing onto a handle. You know, when you do some rock climbing, he's climbing out of the mire, out of the pit, out of the overwhelming emotion. He grabs onto the first handle. I will abide in thy tabernacle. He grabs onto the next one. I will trust. The first is I will abide in the tabernacle, and then I will trust in the covert of thy wings, as he climbs out of the mire and onto solid ground. A heart that is obedient complies. And lastly, a heart that is obedient commits. In verse 5, look at verse 5. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. These vows are vows of devotion, vows of rededication. As Job was able to reiterate in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, Yet will I trust in Him, but I will maintain mine own ways before Him. Not His own ways. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to forget about God. I'm going to do my own thing. No, no, no. That's not His own ways. He's following God's ways and God's direction. Not that God is open and telling Him exactly what He's expecting Him, but this is the way I know to go. I know I'm supposed to go this way. I don't know everything, but I know I'm supposed to take this step, and then this step, and then this step, and I keep going. That's what Job is talking about. And in chapter 23 in Job, he says, verse 8, this is so revealing to where Job is at. In the middle of the passage, he says, I go forward, and I don't see Him there. I don't perceive Him. I look to the left hand where He doth work, and I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him. But He knoweth the way that I take. Whew. He knoweth the way that I take. When I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. And lastly, the psalmist praises Psalm 61, verse 8. You know, it's one thing to sing in fair weather. It's quite another to rejoice in the rain. I want you to notice the attitude of the psalmist. What was the change? What was that change in his attitude where he's overwhelmed in verse 1 and 2, but in verse 8, he's rejoicing? What is the difference? It's because he was on the rock that is higher than I. He chose to stand on solid ground. He chose to come out of that overwhelming emotion. And I'm not saying that you won't be overwhelmed during difficult times. I'm not saying that's wrong to be overwhelmed. That's perfectly natural to be overwhelmed. But it's one another thing entirely to decide to stay there, to set up camp, and to stay bitter against God, and to stay hateful against God, that we need to get out of that point, out of that time where we stay overwhelmed. We try and we get to the rock that is higher than I. We may grab onto it and slip back down into overwhelm, but we keep trying to get out of that mindset of overwhelming spirit. And we see what has happened with the psalmist. He's gotten out of this because of the rock. In verse 4, he's abiding in the tabernacle. He's trusting in the covert of God's wings. And then he says in verse 8, that's where he gets to this point, I will sing praises. Here he can sing praises. He's given courage today. He's given courage and comfort today. You know, he may not know how he can praise the Lord tomorrow. He may look at next week and it may be too difficult. I don't know how I can praise God next week. I don't know what my emotions are going to be next week, but I know what I'm supposed to do today. And we take the step forward and to serve the Lord today, what we know to do. His faith may falter, but he will trust and he will praise the Lord today. I want you to notice in chapter 61 again, do you see anywhere that the Lord responded to him? There's no place in Scripture in this passage that the Lord ever answered his prayer. It doesn't say anywhere that God heard his cry. Now, we do know that God hears our cry when we're in sorrow because of Psalms 34. Psalms 34, it tells us very clearly the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth him and delivereth him out of all his troubles. We know that the Lord is ever present to those that are his children. According to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise, even though you may feel like Job, where you don't see him on the right, the left, the front, behind. You don't see him anywhere. But we know that he will never leave us nor forsake us. But in verse 1, he cries out, hear my prayer! And then you see in verse 5, thou hast heard. The psalmist prays by faith. The psalmist reestablishes his faith. And you can see the determination in the psalmist that he continues his faith. May God give us strength to do so today. I don't know if there's someone here that's never trusted in Christ as our Savior. You don't know what it means to go to the rock that is higher than I. Maybe you need to do that. I would encourage you to find somebody. There's nothing more important you could do today than to trust in Jesus Christ and get that permanently settled to where you are on your way to heaven and your sins can be forgiven. I don't know if you personally are going into some type of a overwhelming emotion where you need to get to that rock that is higher than I. I would encourage you, don't stay. Though it's understandable to be overwhelmed, but don't stay there. Get to higher ground. Get to ground that is solid where you can stand and serve the Lord and continue to do so. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. And though we may be in a darkness at times, we may not know our next step and what we're supposed to do with clarity. Lord, I pray that your power would be upon us. Help us, Lord, that we would serve you. And in our days of difficulty, in our days of confusion, may we please you. May we be glorifying to you. Lord, help us in our hour of temptation that the devil would not be successful in bringing us further down to where we would get to the point we would curse you and hate you. Lord, give us opportunity to serve you. I pray, God, that you'd be glorified in all that is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.